But what about Time Bandits?
I don't know about Time Bandits. Possibly.
That's my favorite one.
We have to look into Time Bandits. I have to rewatch it. I haven't seen it since I was a kid. God,
man, I watched it. So we had it on VHS, and I wore that tape out. This is the thing about me, because I know on the show it's a running gag that I haven't seen a lot of movies, but the movies I have seen, I've seen like 20 times.
And that's fair, man. You're quality, not quantity.
Well, I'm changing my tune. I've watched so many movies. Holy fuck. Hi, everybody.
Hi, everyone.
I'm Clayton.
I'm Jordy.
And this is the Props Cast.
And you know what? Fuck everybody. Welcome home.
Welcome home.
Okay.
Homecoming.
Yep.
Spider-Man Props Cast Homecoming.
Here we are, dude. Here we are. How long has it been since I've even been here?
March.
So
mid-March was the last time we recorded.
Yeah, and we did some Instagram stuff.
Yeah, I don't know if some of our listeners may not have even been aware that we were doing that.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, some people don't just hang out on Instagram all day too, right? Nor do they even want to watch us do that.
Yeah. It was fun though.
Because the podcast is more of like a put it on when you're working.
It's two different
thing, right?
It's two different animals. Even like I found the way we did it was different. Like I feel like we had a whole different repertoire.
We did.
It was shorter. We could see each other. We had to actually like wear pants.
There's more acting involved, right? You know what I mean? More body language. Although we do that on the mics too.
We do.
But we have to be comfortable with people just listening to us, not watching us.
This is the platform where we can tell long, boring stories and
people will love it.
Hopefully. I don't know if they listen, but they definitely stream it. And we get the hit on the analytics page, so I'm happy about that.
Yeah, exactly.
We should probably say that this is our second attempt at recording this new
episode. We should address that, yeah.
We tried recording in my parents' backyard to adhere to the COVID social distancing rules, and it sounded like garbage.
Yeah, it was too bad to release, which is too bad because it was a pretty good episode.
And just so everyone knows, I wasn't really being a stickler about it. I wasn't being like, it doesn't sound perfect. Like, you couldn't hear what we were saying.
No.
It was so bad.
Yeah, it's too bad to release.
So I don't know if that was because we were outside or if I did something wrong.
I wish the producers of, London Fields would have taken a page out of our book. But I guess that's more of an investment, right? I'm never going to stop ragging on that movie. If there's a few takeaways from our time on Instagram, though, we watched a lot of fucking great movies.
I was just going to say, like, how many did we do?
What did we say, like 15 or something like
Probably
that?
Probably more. It looks like 20.
Oh, really? Fuck, man.
Yeah.
No, because it couldn't have been... because we were doing... Yeah.
We were doing...
I was like, was it 20 weeks?
We did like 2 weeks solid.
We did 2 weeks, yeah. Right at the beginning, we did 2 weeks solid every day.
But that was great. It got me into the mood of watching movies. Like, doing it every day was a little bit overbearing, I think.
It definitely was overbearing, man. Imagine being like a person who had a daily talk show. That would be too hard
work.
But
those guys, they shoot those like...
two a day and shit like that. Yeah. But still, keeping up with the current events.
And they have a team of writers. Man.
Yeah, it's still hard work though, isn't it? Jimmy Kimmel.
You know what we should do? We should try. We should do a week where we have a daily podcast, but we hire people to write it for us,
just like our friends.
Yeah, and then we can get them to write it on cue cards,
and somebody.
Yeah,
that would be a lot of work, I think, wouldn't it?
Just not
even
for us.
Writing the cue cards out. Okay, for all of our Props fans out there. Whoever has had to write cue cards on the fucking fly last minute.
Me.
What a fucking shit show that is.
You've done it too?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Oh, God,
dude. It's terrible.
I did it quite recently too. And I probably shouldn't say.
Yeah, maybe not.
But a project I did in the last 2 years.
And the actor just could not remember their lines?
Yes. And it's weird because that was the first time where I really was like, oh, yeah, that's our responsibility. Like, technically... cue cards are the props department. Sure. It's just that we don't do any live TV here.
No, we do nothing like that.
So anyway. I was like, oh shit, well, like, people what do we even, us. Like, how? What's the protocol? Like, what's the font you're supposed to use?
Italics? No, I know it's a fucking shit show doing it. Mm-hmm. And they always want to do it last minute. And they're like, you have 5 minutes to make fucking 2 pages of dialogue and cue cards. And you're like, fuck, seriously?
Each letter is like 4 inches high.
We always do a thing, especially in television, because actors get burnt out. And some actors have to memorize a fucking shitload mm-hmm. of dialogue. And you're like, holy Christ.
It's complicated dialogue sometimes too.
The best I've ever seen at it, I've probably mentioned it before, was Tom Ellis from Lucifer. That guy's a fucking machine, dude. That guy can like just monologues, like 3-4 page monologues.
Yeah.
And he's done the day previous. And he goes home at 11 at night, learns his fucking lines for the next day, goes back to work, and just nails it. No problem. Mm-hmm. No problem with that guy. And if he does one take, couple takes wrong, he gets frustrated. You can tell because he's mad at himself for doing it.
Does he have a theater background?
He definitely has a theater background.
That's probably
why. That's exactly why.
Yeah.
And then you get all these other fucking day players that show up. They've had the whole week and they can't even get a fucking
6 lines
page, you know? And you're like, dude.
You know who else is, he's actually known for it, is David Duchovny.
Oh, yeah?
And I witnessed it on the season of X-Files that I did.
He's good with it.
Yeah, I'd heard that before. Because he, in X-Files, he has these huge monologues. He would always go mansplaining to Scully. But yeah, it would always be like...
different paranormal things.
Yeah, about like, this ancient tribe had a theory about...
Which is so vital for that show to work, right?
And then I saw him do it. Like, I was reading the script and it's like, I'm not kidding, like 2 pages of unbroken dialogue. I'm like, fuck, how is he going to do it? Every time, nailed it. Yeah. Take after take. And even when they're doing like Jillian's coverage, he doesn't half-ass it. He was just like, you know, he does it the same every time. Yeah. I'm like, fuck, man, that is not easy to do.
Yeah. The only thing with Duchovny is could he have done it well? No, I'm just kidding. No, he's decent. He's a decent actor.
He
knows what he is. He doesn't try to go outside of his
realm. He's professional. Like, he just wants to do it.
Yeah.
You know, like when he's in the zone, he just wants to do
it. It's just sometimes he's, you know, it's like fucking somebody shocked this guy with the paddles. That's all I'm going to say.
But that's his thing, right?
That is his thing. And he doesn't try to be something he's not, which I respect that about people. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I can respect that about an actor who just does their thing and they just make money at it. By all means.
Like,
do your thing.
Steve Buscemi.
Exactly. But Steve Buscemi. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Steve Buscemi is always fucking Steve Buscemi. True story.
But he's always great.
But we can't get enough. And he's spanned. Right now, we're talking 4 decades.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Okay, Clayton, do you want to talk about what's going on in the world today regarding Black Lives Matter movement mm-hmm. and the police brutality that's been going on in the world?
I do. I think it's important. And, you know, the first thing I want to say right off the bat is that it's definitely an uncomfortable topic.
And don't feel like you're the only one that thinks it's uncomfortable.
I don't feel that way.
Because I think it's uncomfortable. A lot of people are uncomfortable to talk about it because they don't think it's their place.
Exactly. And I know for me, because I've never spoken up about anything before, like anything, regardless of what I think in my head, it's a totally different bag when you're talking about it. But I think that you and I agree that we have this platform and we have listeners, and it's very important to talk about it at least a little bit and just, you know, let everyone know where we stand, which is that we are 100% behind the movement.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And
we are in solidarity.
Totally.
And we, you know, we're not going to go around preaching on the hilltops about it, because it's really not our place. But we're going to do what we can, and we're going to support it as much as we can.
Exactly.
Right?
Yes.
And, you know, for us to acknowledge things like our white privilege, mm-hmm. which we both have.
100%.
Have had.
Yes.
And have. I could tell, we could do a whole podcast about Jordy's white privilege. I've had a lot of it in my life, mm-hmm. not going to lie. And I think that it's important for people just to acknowledge it. And if you don't think you have it, I can guarantee you, you're just not understanding it.
Yeah.
Right? Exactly. You had a good way of explaining it, right?
Well, it's just like, you know, it's just been things that I've seen on social media, and it was a Jimmy Kimmel clip, actually, where he was like, oh, and the first time I heard that phrase, white privilege, I had like an emotional defensive reaction. And I was like, yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
The first time you
hear it. The first time you hear it, yeah.
It makes you feel guilty, but that's not the point.
No,
it's
not. The
point is to acknowledge it. And there was another post that was, white privilege doesn't mean that your life hasn't been difficult. It means that the color of your skin has not been part of that difficulty.
Exactly.
Right. And I was like, that's so poignant and
so simple.
When you understand that, you're really free and open to learn more about the movement and what it actually means. And I found it personally really freeing. And I fully will admit I have definitely benefited from white privilege.
Well, and white privilege isn't up for debate, really.
No. Right?
It just is what it is.
Yeah, it is.
And it's the more you resist it, the worse you look. Right?
Yeah. Well, and then you're not
growing. The worse you are.
The worse you are. Yeah. You're not growing and you're not learning. Right?
Yeah. And it's just, it's just better just to be honest about it. Right?
Yeah.
Let's be honest about it.
Let's be honest. I think that's the most important thing. And, you know, going hand in hand with being nervous and uncomfortable about talking about it, you're going to say, I know for me personally, I'm going to say something dumb, uninformed. You know, I'm going to look like a jackass. Because I am uninformed and I'm learning, right? I've made a commitment to learn. So if, you know, in this little segment, you're going to hear me say something really stupid, sure. But I'm trying, right? I'm making the effort.
Well, exactly. And that's all we can do.
I think we all are, right?
That's all we can do is learn. And it's a process for white people
to
learn, you know. And for anyone out there who's hesitant to do it, you know, don't worry about it. It's going to be a learning experience. Learning about different things is the most amazing gift you can have in your life, right? And if you're living closed-minded, you're cutting yourself off from that. And it's a real detriment to society and to yourself, right?
Yeah.
So,
well put.
Do you, because I've been hearing a lot about, obviously, because we're Canadian, right? And a lot of Canadians like to say, well, you know, we don't have that racism up here that they do down there.
I know. It's such a weird thing to say to me because it's not true
at all. It's not true. It's not true, man.
It's not true. Like, racism is worldwide.
Yeah.
And Canada, as great of a country it is, we have 100%, we have racism.
And here, we are more of a mosaic than we are a melting pot. And we have had things in place that have granted people to sort of keep their culture more, right?
Yes.
I will give Canada that, right? Mm-hmm. However, we have had racism here from day one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And there's many memes and information circulating around social media about that. You know, one thing that I can talk about firsthand is our First Nation reservations, right? Mm-hmm. I grew up near one. My school, elementary and junior high, was half First Nations, half white. And you definitely saw firsthand that's kind of where Canada's poverty exists, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's our dirty little secret. And it's hidden and it's swept away. And there is some very bad things that go on these reservations that
terrible things.
And it's, you know, and it's a direct result of racism, right? And I think the faster we acknowledge that, the faster we admit to that, hopefully some progress can be made.
Yeah.
You know, and that's all but we've been struggling with it for so long as a country, and we keep going back to it, and we try to, and it keeps becoming a mess, you know, and it just becomes these things that are just, it's like chasing our tail with it, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not an expert on it. I mean, I've seen it firsthand, and it's not right. I know that, you know, and I just want to see some sort of changes made if we could, you know. I don't know.
Well, now is definitely the time to start talking about it, looking at it.
It's a tough conversation to have.
It's a tough conversation to have.
It's a tough conversation because we're both white, and hopefully once this virus subsides, we can have more. We've had some black people on the show before, but maybe we can have other people that we don't know about yet, you know,
that can
speak on this stuff and educate us. You know?
Oh, and yeah, I would fucking love that.
Exactly.
Yeah, that is definitely a long-term goal for us. And, you know, we talked earlier off mic about police brutality and just how fucking sickening it is. And
it's gotten too far.
That shit's got to stop.
So it's gone too far.
Just so, you know, we just want to speak out against it and just say that's fucking, it's bullshit and we don't like it.
No.
And don't. Yeah. But one thing I think that we both wanted to just say as kind of a closing remark is that if you're at home, I mean, we're all been stuck in our houses from the virus and looking at this on TV, on social media, there's tons of things that you can do.
There is.
You know, and if this is like us, kind of your first step into getting involved, speaking out, there's lots of really easy stepping stones like donating.
Donate as much as you can.
Donating to charities, donating, signing petitions, and just educating yourself. You know, there's lots of Black authors who've written some really great books, whether they're fiction or nonfiction.
Black filmmakers.
Yeah, filmmakers, documentaries,
Next week we're doing a Black movies episode.
Yeah, and I'm so excited for it. And even, you know, Black musicians, just supporting Black culture and arts.
And if you're really unsure, donate to Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, because they know what to do with the money.
And if we want a nonprofit organization to succeed and to make changes, it needs
financial backing. Yeah, exactly. And that's where we all come in.
Yeah.
So there's lots of things you can do, and even just, you know, just start listening and educating yourselves and start actively talking about it. It's hard, but that discomfort, just like anything in your life, that discomfort means that you're learning and you're growing.
Oh, and one more thing. I want people to watch that Netflix movie, 13th.
I still haven't seen it, but it's on my list. Definitely going to watch it.
It's a good starting point for people. Yeah. I know there's been about, you know, 700 other fucking, you know, things that could educate people in the last 50, 60 years.
Yeah.
But since we're, you know, we're at this point, I would say it's a good place for people to start because it definitely shows you how society is tilted against Black people. Mm-hmm. And I think there's so many things to learn from it in that movie. And I want people to pay attention to everything in it. And I want people to pay attention to the very last line that's said. I'm not going to spoil it. I'm not going to try and quote it because it's not really my place. But I just want people to listen to it and be open-minded and open-hearted.
So put your phone away and sit down
and listen.
Pay attention. That's what I'm going to do.
Pretend there's a fucking quiz on it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because probably will be at some point in your life.
Yeah.
Pop quiz. I'm just saying, like, just be kind too, man. Like, fuck.
What was the thing that you posted on your, what was the three words that?
Yeah, that I posted today.
Yeah.
Honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness.
Yeah.
With these, we are well on our way.
See, I love that.
It's true, man, because you can't get a perspective shift if you don't have those three things.
Yeah, right? And it's free. It doesn't cost you a dime. You just have to be willing and open.
And all it takes is a perspective shift. You know, and for all those people out there who've struggled with, you know, admitting the white privilege thing and having that white guilt and that anger and, you know, those fucking moments that, you know, sometimes the anger just builds up at you and you think that you're the bad guy, you know, just know that, you know, you just have to have a little bit of understanding around it and your perspective will change.
Totally.
And it'll be a start, right?
That was really well put. Yeah.
Well, I'm just, you know, just fucking trying to be a human being, you know, bro?
Totally.
Like, how do we do anything? I don't know.
I don't know either. There's no quick fix, definitely, but you know, we're gonna keep talking about it, and we just wanted everyone that listens to our show to know where we stand, because to be silent about it, I think, is the worst thing you can do.
I think so too, and I think this time, for some reason, this feels different.
It does feel different,
doesn't it?
It feels bigger, and it feels like things are already happening. Things are already starting to change. It's kind of extraordinary.
It's a cool thing to see. It's been a crazy year for us. It's been a tough year. And as of today, you know, I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful. Mm-hmm. And that's all I think we can be.
I think you have to be hopeful, right?
hope is just, you know.
Change, big change has never been easy or smooth in the history of the world.
No.
Right? And I'm not a historian, but I believe that to be true. I don't think anything has changed dramatically in a positive way without struggle and a little bit of chaos.
Well, and that's
not that I'm an anarchist or anything.
You know, we have right now, we have hope, you know, and if eventually our hope gets turned into things taking place and changes being made, and we see that, then our hope will turn into faith, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll have a little bit of faith in the
yeah.
in the system and in the protesting, right? Yeah. And in the fact that we've seen a lot this year. We've seen the fact that they can shut down society with the stroke of a pen.
Yeah.
And we've also seen that with the right amount of protest and the right amount of social media activism, things can also be changed too.
Yeah.
And there can be a lot of accountabilities fucking thrown out, right? Mm. And rightly so.
Yeah.
And if you're on the shitty end of those accountabilities, well, that's a price that you have to pay, right? And it's, you know, it's can be tough, but it's definitely necessary, right?
Yeah.
So we'll see moving forward.
Yes. I'm glad that we talked about this.
I'm glad that we talked about it too, bro.
And I'm glad that my voice didn't crack because of nerves, because that is something that happens to me. Oh, man.
And that's fine. That's fine, because we're not, you know, it's uncharted waters for us, especially yes. on the podcast. Right?
Just the podcast itself is uncharted waters.
And that's a part of growing, right?
Exactly.
So here we are. But we have a good segue movie.
Yeah, this is sort of an accident, but I watched recently Do the Right Thing.
And it falls into the category of our topic tonight, yes. which is summer movies.
Summer movies.
Yes.
But it's also a very poignant film for what's happening right now with the Black Lives Matter movement.
Very much. And people should fucking, if you watch 13th and then watch Do the Right Thing.
Absolutely. It's a movie that I've been meaning to watch for a long time. And it was just the timing of it was kind of bizarre to watch this fictional movie and then basically see that happening in the world.
In the world.
Like, yeah, fuck. Almost verbatim. It was kind of blew my mind. But it's a great movie. It's one of Spike Lee's, I think, earlier films.
I think it's a one for sure his earlier ones, but is it like it's his very first feature, isn't it?
Oh, is it?
I can't remember.
See, this is the thing. I need to educate myself because
31 years ago.
I haven't seen a lot of Spike Lee movies. I'll just be honest about that.
Yeah, and I have. They're good.
you've seen tons of movies, way more than me. That's for sure.
That's not true. You've been catching up, man.
I have, and I've been actually trying to be very diverse with my film picks because I have the time. So I've been watching a lot of foreign films with subtitles, which is very hard for me because I'm a slow reader. But
I can barely read at all.
I have to sometimes rewind and watch because I haven't read all the subtitles. I'm like, wait, what? What's going on? But definitely Do the Right Thing is a great summer flick.
Yeah, and dude, a young Martin Lawrence.
Oh, he looks like a baby in that movie. I sent you a picture. I took a picture of the TV.
He's so great.
Look how little he is.
Whatever happened to him?
He looks like 14 in there.
I know, and whatever happened. He hasn't done much lately.
Yeah. Do the Right Thing is a great movie to watch. I don't know if you can rent it on iTunes, but it's definitely worth a watch if you haven't seen it.
Okay, but the reason why we wanted to do this topic is because things are really heavy right now for the world, right? Mm-hmm. We went through COVID. I mean, it's hard, not tragic. This last thing that we went through is that we're still going through.
Yeah.
Is very tragic. You know what I mean? And I don't want to take away from any of that recognition of the tragic events that are unfolding and will continue to unfold.
Mm-hmm.
However, I would like it if, you know, that's why I wanted to do this topic is because I want people to enjoy the summer as much as they can.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And get people in the mood for summertime things, Clayton.
We had this topic kind of simmering on the saucepan. On the saucepan.
When you said simmering, I honestly thought saucepan came into my mind.
Because we were like, what should our first topic back be? And, you know, we pushed it this far. It's now June. And we're like, oh, you know what? Summer's around the corner. Let's do summer movies. And my cousin was talking about how he got a campsite through the BC Parks Board website, which was like quite a achievement.
Yeah, no kidding. It's so hard to get a campsite in this province. God.
Which is weird, hey? Because like the whole idea it of is, BC is like
it's a giant campground. Like,
that's the first thing you think of, right?
And sometimes it's on fire and sometimes it's not. You know what I mean? That's all we have.
I fucking hope it's not on fire this summer.
All you can do is hope.
God, there's like no controlling it, hey?
I just hope that this year gets better, dude.
Dude, all it takes is one cigarette butt.
Yeah, everybody... put your fucking darts out. Okay, quickly, I just want to acknowledge the guy from Black Klansman. His name's John David Washington.
Oh, yes.
And he's also in Tenet.
Yes.
Great actor, up and comer. Anyways.
I'm super excited for Tenet.
Hey, everybody out there, don't fucking light the fucking campground on fire this year, okay? Oh, thanks.
Thank you.
Because I want everybody to like, yes, there's a lot of heavy shit going on right now, but we wanted to talk about some fun summer movies because we're going to get into like... shorts, patios, Slurpees, fucking...
What's free Slurpee day? What day is that?
I don't know, but remember when Nick...
Yes.
Fucking... oh, you were so mad about that. I was so mad.
I'm like, who the fuck do you think you are?
Just for like a free Slurpee? They're like $1.70. I love Slurpees. I fucking love them, dude.
I don't know when the last time I had a Slurpee was.
Like a full Slurpee.
Yeah.
Like to the top.
Yeah.
Multi-flavored swamp water.
When we did X-Files, we were doing Screamers.
Oh, with the ice cream?
Yeah.
Dude, Screamers are
oh, man, those were
I don't
good.
Know. I think that's a BC thing, hey?
Do you like, think it is?
Well, it's not an Alberta thing, and I've never heard of people outside of BC having them.
I never had them growing up because they didn't do the soft serve ice cream at the 7-Eleven when I was growing up.
For so anyone out there who doesn't know, a Screamer is a Slurpee. Which in the States, no, they do call them Slurpees.
I think they call them Slurpees. Or if you're not familiar with a Slurpee, you probably might know them as slushy.
Yeah, slushy or Slurpee with soft serve ice cream in it mixed.
Yeah, it's like so
dumped
good.
In there. It's so fucking good.
It's so good. It sounds gross, but it's amazing.
It is the worst for brain freeze, though.
Oh,
the
yeah.
absolute worst.
Oh, yeah.
Like you may as well get a Band-Aid and stick it to the roof of your mouth. Because just to like not have it, it's so painful.
Man. Yeah, but I remember when we recorded this the first time, you were talking about, like, there's that feeling of that anticipation of summer.
Yeah.
That's what we're trying to grasp onto yes. here during this topic.
You know what I mean? You start getting your shorts out. You start getting your CD booklet that you had from 90s summer that has, like, Sublime in it. It has...
Best of the Beach Boys.
Oh. Dude.
Yeah, I can't even mention the Beach Boys to you.
Don't mention the Beach Boys around me right now because I've gone down the rabbit hole with the Beach Boys. I don't
know their
why.
You know their whole catalog.
Yeah, and I can't stop. I know I've seen every TV movie. That's been my whole pandemic it's has been discovering the Beach Boys.
Researching the Beach Boys?
Yes, dude. They're so fucking... Anyways, moving on because that'll take up... That's got to be a topic. Beach Boys movies. Beach movies.
What? Beach Boys? Oh, Beach movies.
Pee Wee Herman, Back to the Beach. There's our first one.
What? Back to the Beach?
Yeah, remember, didn't Pee Wee Herman do a beach movie?
No.
Are you sure?
He did Pee Wee's Big Adventure, and then he did Big Top Pee Wee.
Are you sure there wasn't a beach one in there?
I'm pretty sure.
All right, we'll look it up later. Anyways, so we're going to talk about movies that get us in the mood for the upcoming summer. Okay, everybody? The hot, we all know you love it. We all know that Vancouverites... most beloved pastime is sitting on a fucking patio drinking a craft beer.
Well, this is
let's
what,
be honest about
this
that.
Is what I was saying is like when summer was coming up and BC was still under quarantine house arrest, I was like, man, Vancouverites can't handle that.
No.
In Vancouver,
that's all you do is
the
go
first
outside.
Day that is not raining, even if it's not sunny, if it's just not raining,
you go out.
People go out to the beach.
Yeah, or hike or whatever people do here. People do shit here.
It's an outdoorsy city.
I mean, people are, no, it is. It is. It's one of the most outdoorsy cities in the world, isn't it?
We endure 300 days of rain to enjoy the 65 days of sun.
And even in the pissing rain, we still go out and do shit, man.
Okay, so throw out some movies. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm fucking ready, bro.
Okay, go.
Okay, I'm not really ready. You go. You do the first one.
Let's start with The Way, Way Back.
Oh, yes.
Which is a movie I think we've talked about on the podcast before.
We have, but not in depth.
Not in depth. It's a 2013 movie directed by Nat Faxon and Jim Rash.
Fucking Jim Rash,
starring
dude.
Steve Carell, Toni Collette, Sam Rockwell, Maya Rudolph, Amanda Peet.
And that
among
kid,
others, Liam James.
Liam James
is the lead kid.
Who I've worked with when he was a kid.
Really?
Right? Yeah. Huh? He was in Psych, the TV series.
Oh, yeah, you
Psych,
told me this, yeah.
He's the young version of James Rodet, the lead in that. So this was fucking years ago. That kid's probably 20-some years old right now.
This movie is like so summer.
And for anybody who hasn't seen it, if you can watch it, it's a great watch. It's a great little hidden
great
gem
movie.
Indie movie.
Yeah.
Fucking great actors. Awesome story. Awesome good time movie.
Yeah.
Loved it.
This
but
kid,
it's also kind of like intense at times.
This too. Kid goes to this, I guess it's like a summer community with his mom and his stepdad.
Yeah.
He's kind of struggling. He's in, how old is he? He's like,
it's
what?
Like 15.
Yeah.
14, 15.
At that age where yeah. it's like you're about to create a life of your own.
Yeah.
He gets a secret job at a water park, like a water slide park.
Dude.
Run by Sam Rockwell and Jim Rash. And he just sort of becomes a legend there. It's just a great story.
Everybody's so supportive of him.
Yeah, it's a great like summer coming of age story. When's it set? Like modern day?
I think it's like 2000s or something.
Yeah.
It didn't seem like it was period. Or maybe I haven't seen it in a long time. It definitely wasn't 70s.
But a great, yeah, great movie.
I like when people like the archetype of a kid going to that job and you think, oh, he's going to get picked on and they're going to be mean to him. And then they kind of flip the archetype on its head. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Actually, everybody's really encouraging of him and everybody's really nice to him. They sort of build him up and
yeah.
send him on his way through that coming of age.
Yes. Right?
That's what I love about this movie.
Yeah. It's a very optimistic, like positive movie.
Yeah. And I worked with Jim Rash too. Mm-hmm. And I said to him, he was one of the co-directors. And I said to him, I said, you know what, dude? I watched a movie. I fucking loved it, man. And he was really appreciative of it.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, thanks so much.
Yeah. So that's a good one to watch. You got one lined up there, buds?
I do, bro. I do. It's a little bit, it's such a fucking classic. We've talked about it before.
Yeah.
Some people are going to say, is it a summer movie? That's they're going to say right off the top. They're going to be like, is it? But I'm going to say, yes, it is. It's Dirty Dancing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's a, totally. Because everyone's like, wait, is it about summer?
Well, it's the same idea as The Way, Way Back. It's like a family going to like
a summer community.
Community. And this is more of like a posh resort. Yeah.
In the 50s, we'll say.
Yeah.
Right?
What did we say last time? We're going to reprise a lot of things we said in the lost version of this episode.
Yeah. We're going to do an episode about movies made in the 80s that were
about the 50s. Because it's my favorite type of movie. Because it just has, it's just a weird skew on the way the 50s were.
And there's so many of them.
Because it's like, they got the cars right, they got the dresses right, but then the guy's hair is always wrong.
And they didn't get the dialogue right sometimes.
Yeah.
Because they were like far out.
You were praising Patrick Swayze, as you should, the last time we talked about this. But I was like, the one thing that doesn't grab me about that movie is his hair is totally 80s.
It's a bit of a mullet.
It's not
But you can't take away from Swayze, man.
You know, well, you can't ask Swayze to have a buzz cut.
Nobody ever asked Swayze to do anything except for
be a
demigod. And he delivered, right?
He's so good in that movie.
Guy, Swayze, let's not even, for anyone who doesn't know, for anyone who needs to fucking check themselves, do a gut check, you got to get into Patrick Swayze, okay? Just let him enter your heart and he'll change your life. I'm not kidding. This movie too, for any of you millennials out there who haven't, maybe for some fucking crazy reason, haven't seen it. This is a fucking movie you have to watch right now.
I hadn't watched it until this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You hadn't seen it at all?
No, I'd never seen
it.
Oh,
wow.
There was a lot of those 80s movies that totally passed me by. Like, they weren't even on my radar.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, the 80s movie that everyone globbed onto in my little circle growing up was Grease.
Another one that's 80s, 50s.
Set in the 50s, yeah. I know. But, yeah, Dirty Dancing totally went by the wayside. But it holds up.
Dude. Of course, dude. It is such a fucking classic. And, like we talked about before, because at first glance, it seems like a white privilege movie, which it sort of is in its entirety, but it also has that kind of gritty heart because Patrick Swayze's character, Johnny, he's from the kind of lower,
poor
side of the tracks, right?
He's one of the servants, really.
Yeah, exactly. Like
the staff at the resort.
Yeah, and I mean, they sort of, that's the sort of struggle in the show.
Yeah.
Right? Is there's this class system within it, right? Mm-hmm. Which I feel like they address quite poignantly.
They do. It's good.
And I don't know. It just, it has dancing. Without Swayze and Jennifer Grey, I mean, Jennifer Grey sort of fell off after this era. Do you know what I mean? And I kind of feel bad for her. But what I liked about her is she wasn't classically, you know, the usual pretty girl. Neither was Molly Ringwald, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what was really likable about the both of them. Like, without her, I don't think this movie would have worked as well. Or Patrick
Swayze. No, they had great chemistry.
Because she was kind of nerdy and she was kind of awkward.
Yeah.
Right? Which really fucking spoke to people at the time.
Yeah. And he was so cool. Dude, he was like you said, a demigod. He was like,
I watched this documentary about him. I've already talked about this, but I watched this documentary about him called I Am Patrick Swayze.
Yeah. I need to watch that.
There's a bunch of those I Am on HBO's.
Oh, right? And you know what? We need to do that other topic.
What other topic?
Kevin Swayze, Patrick Bacon.
Yeah. That's a whole nother fucking
because
topic.
Because I'm the kind of guy that gets Dirty Dancing mixed up with Footloose.
which is not
starring Kevin Bacon.
It's understandable,
Bacon.
Yeah. I remember how we talked about, I don't think they've ever done the same film.
Together? I don't think they have either. And they were at the same level at the same time in terms of popularity and being in not just being in movies, but being in those movies that had that right, their finger on the pulse of the young generation, you know?
Yeah. Dude, absolutely. It was like the revolution at the time.
Even though
just the dancing.
Were either of them in a John Hughes movie?
I don't think so.
I don't think they were in that circle.
Hey? No. I mean, we have to do our research for this Patrick Bacon.
Actually, they may have been too popular to be in a John Hughes.
Well, they're kind of their own. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Because John Hughes was more of a, you know what? And I'm going to go on a limb. Maybe there was a connection, but Patrick Swayze couldn't work with John Hughes. Patrick Swayze is like a wild Mustang, dude.
you gotta know
what you're doing with a guy like that. I swear to God. No, you know what's funny is that's kind of a joke what I just said, but kind of not, because certain actors, especially in those days, like I remember meeting some of those kind of that era of actors, mm-hmm. and like those sort of manly sort of men that fucking did like action movies and stuff.
Yeah.
And like they were like serious business guys. They mm-hmm. weren't. They weren't like super artistic.
They weren't like the
guys. They were like legit, like shake your hand really fucking hard, look you right in the eye, and expect you to you know, be there all the fucking time. Like if they looked out and didn't see you, they'd be mad.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like on the set. Like if they looked out, like, hey, where's Jordy? And I wasn't like looking at them, they'd be like choked about it.
Right.
You had to be on your fucking game with guys like that. I'm not joking.
You couldn't be popping out for a screamer.
No, dude. Yeah, exactly. It wasn't a joke. It's serious business, those guys.
Okay, I have one. Are you ready?
Go, yes.
The Sandlot.
I mean,
we should be honest with our audience. We're kind of acting a little bit because we've already talked about all of these movies. But
it doesn't matter. My emotions are still the same.
I think longtime listeners will know that Jordy and I don't have a problem about talking about the same thing twice with the same amount of enthusiasm.
God, no, dude.
The Sandlot, to me, is a really great summer movie because, again, this is a movie set in the kind of the 50s. But it's like more of a... It falls along the lines of those kids coming of age. You know, they're playing baseball. They can't afford the actual baseball. And every time they hit it over the fence, they have to stop playing it. It's just, there's a part of, I think, even our childhood that connects with that.
Yeah, totally.
You know, when you had like 6 quarters in your pocket, you were like king of the town. You know what I mean?
Oh, dude, one time bought a bunch of baseball cards off me for $20.
Oh my God.
Like a green fucking 20.
You were like Barton Milhouse.
Yeah, dude.
Getting a super screamer.
But you know what? Do you know what I bought with it?
What?
More cards. But.
You fucking idiot.
One of the cards that I got in that, I bought a whole bunch of Skybox basketball cards, and one of the cards I got was Gary Payton.
I was going to say Scottie Pippen.
Draft card. No, it's Gary Payton.
Oh, with on the phone.
Yes, on the phone. I've told this fucking story.
Yeah, and I posted a picture of that card on our Instagram.
So that's a classic.
That's a classic. It's a good
The glove, dude, who he was just mentioned, he has a spot in The Last Dance, the documentary on Netflix.
Oh, yeah?
Which everybody should also watch.
The Michael Jordan documentary.
But The Sandlot was just... The Sandlot, the kids were so great in it, number one.
Oh, so great.
The kids were such good actors.
The thing with kids... Like working with a group of kids is you gotta just let them be kids,
yeah.
Because that's what you're trying to capture. If you're trying to like get them to do specific things in every single shot, it's gonna feel fake. And I think in the 80s they really had that down, or the 80s and the 90s they had that figured out.
Yeah,
we're like, okay, we're gonna get like 12 kids in this movie and just let them like.
Well, and me do and their exactly, thing. And. Kids can be like kid actors, and me and you have worked with our fair share.
Mm-hmm.
They can be, they're such little talented people.
Oh, man.
And it fucking blows my mind.
Yeah.
I love watching them do their thing. I really do. Cause they're just so hilarious, man.
Yeah.
And they're like little adults. Like they're kids at heart, but
it's so strange.
They have to have a certain level of maturity
to just pull it off. To understand, like, when the director's like, okay, you're gonna walk from here to here, and then the camera guy's like, but angle your body so that we, and like the props guy's like, but don't hold the thing upside.
Well, when I was a kid, I was in a few commercials,
yeah,
as we all know, and I mean, not to fucking name drop Sega Genesis, but
it was daunting.
I love Sega Genesis, yes.
You always do the fist pump.
Well, I have to.
I know.
It's part of the character, Clayton. You know what I mean?
And your sister was in that too, wasn't she?
My sister was in one of them, yeah. And and I had a few bit parts here and there, obviously, but nothing of substantial. But it is daunting when you're a kid because you're so nervous and awkward and fucking pit stains and fuck whatever. You know what I mean?
Pit stains, yeah.
Because you just want to be cool. You know, as a kid, you just want to be cool. And that's what I loved about this movie is the kids were all in it. They were so nerdy and awkward. They all were, except for Luis, the coolest one. and the black kid, right? But all the rest of them were super nerdy.
Just dorks.
But they owned it, right? Yeah. They just went with it.
Yeah.
The lead kid had the most struggle at finding out who he was. Mm-hmm. But in the end, he did. And that's what makes people who they are today. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I remember how you identify with that lead kid, don't you?
I did identify with that kid, totally. My favorite part in that movie is when he builds the Meccano set contraption
to retrieve the ball. Out of the yard, yeah.
I'm like, that's totally something that I would have done as a kid and probably did at some point.
A lot of I've had a lot of those experiences, like, when they chew, when they take the big chewing tobacco, I did that. Not on a roller coaster, but as a kid, my buddy, he stole some of his dad's Copenhagen, because in Alberta, a lot of people chew tobacco, right? And I ended up chewing actually for years after. But anyway.
God, I tried it once. It was so...
Dude, we
I was like Jesse doing. Eisenberg in the end of the tour. When he's like, can I try that? He puts it in and it's like, it's in there for 3 seconds. And he's like, I'm just going to go to the bathroom for a second. But that was me at the fishing resort. This guy was like, you want to try some? He was like clacking the...
Tapping the top.
And he's like, you want to try some? I'm like, sure. I'm like expecting it to taste like cherry licorice. Yeah.
It doesn't.
Like, put it in here. And, I'm like, oh, God.
Yeah, the first time we did it, my friend stole my dad or his dad's Copenhagen, like a half tin of it, because his dad used to have so much of it and keep it in the freezer. And then I took a giant fucking plug of it, like a huge pinch of it.
Big old dollop.
Grabbed my lips, stuffed it in there, and just let that shit ride,
bro.
That's
so gross.
And I fucking puked my guts out, like just in the bathroom.
I probably puked after having it in my mouth for 3 seconds.
Nicotine flood, right? And then it goes away and you feel fine. Ugh. I even think I took a big shit from it too, because that's what nicotine does. Dude, it's bad, man. Your little fucking kid body taking in that much nicotine.
Well, I wasn't a kid. I was probably like 18, 17, 18.
Still, you'd never had it before.
No.
You
never had nicotine. I'd never had nicotine, no.
Nicotine is a serious, potent drug.
That's the thing. I was so dumb. I didn't know that it was nicotine. Like, I didn't even know what it was. You know what I mean? Terrible. I was like, it must be like chewing gum.
I knew guys that had holes in their gums from it.
Gross. Okay, name another movie.
Okay, The Sandlot is rad for anybody who is out there.
I feel like you're going to... I feel like if you go follow the logical route, you're going to pick the same movie that's in my head right now. I'm trying to transmit it to you telekinesis style. Dude. Come on, guy.
Okay, my next one is going to be...
You can do it.
Dazed and Confused.
No, it wasn't what I was thinking, but a great pick.
I wanted to mix it up a little bit. For anyone who hasn't seen it...
We talked about Dazed and Confused the first time we recorded this for quite a bit.
We did.
Yeah. And it's been a while since I've seen it.
Well, like I said before, it is a... All these movies are very much coming of age at different times in my life movies. Yes. Right? Because Dazed and Confused, but this one is the most. This one is the this is the movie that I have watched the most in my life.
Dazed and Confused to me is like a more updated version of American Graffiti.
Yeah. To me, it's better than American Graffiti.
I think it's a little more honest than American
It's the Graffiti. Same time as American Graffiti, isn't it?
No. Like, it's the same American time Graffiti period. Is 50s. It's 50s.
Oh, yeah.
Dazed and Confused is 70s.
It's like Deuce Coupes and
like
shit.
Like border, like almost 80s. Borderline 80s.
But see, to me, yeah, you're right. You're right. However, I feel, no, you're right. You're right. There's something about American Graffiti that doesn't sit well with me. I don't know why.
It's because, again, it's another movie that was made in the 70s about the 50s. So it's like a weird, looking at the 50s through a weird lens.
Fucking Buddy in American Graffiti with the glasses looks a lot like the kid from The Sandlot, now that I think about it.
Oh.
You know what I mean? The thick glass
yeah,
guy.
Yeah. Who was that?
I can't remember. But American Graffiti, to me, was a movie that was kind of about nothing. Whereas Dazed and Confused is too.
Yeah.
But to me, the Dazed and Confused just comes across a lot better. I don't know.
Well, it's more refined.
For anyone out there who hasn't seen Dazed and Confused, fucking watch it. It's a great film.
What's the tagline? You see it with a bud.
See it with a bud, man. It's Matthew McConaughey. It's Jason London. It's fucking, who else?
Isn't Benicio Del Toro Anthony Rapp in there?
No.
No. What am
no,
I thinking
I wish
of?
He was.
What am I thinking of?
Cole Hauser, fucking, there's a bunch of people in it, man. There's a bunch of those classic 90s people in it. Oh, Ben Affleck is in it. That's maybe who you're thinking of. He's O'Banion, the bully.
Oh, maybe.
But it's just, when it came out, it was all about smoking weed and partying and being cool. So I was like 14 years old and just thought it was the fucking coolest thing ever. So anytime at any party when we were kids, like I've watched it probably 100 fucking times, dude. It was playing at a party definitely 100 times in my life.
It's a great party movie because it's sort of, it's just one of those movies that kind of meanders through.
A night,
yeah. And people are crossing paths. And like you and I are so nostalgic for, like the pre-cell phone era where
yes.
when you go out.
Yes.
You never know what's going to happen.
It was so much more, for any of you kids out there, just, I don't know if you can try. I don't know if it's even possible now, but when you would go out for a fun, hilarious night of drinking, carrying on, whatever, back in the old days when you never had a phone, it just seemed like it was so much more of an adventure because you'd end up at places you did not expect to end up at.
And there was something really special about bumping into people you know unexpectedly.
Yeah.
And at that age, it's kind of like everyone was out doing that. And you don't have quite the scope. Like, not everyone had a car. You know, you didn't have like a big area that you could cover. You're kind of always in the same little penned in area of your neighborhood. So you're running into people all the time. And it's like such a treat.
And it was fun. It's just, I don't know. I remember going out in Vancouver in my early 20s, going to the Mod Club, which is down, I don't even know what it's called now.
I have no idea.
It's down kind of in the Lower East Side. And then I used to go to like the Granville Strip to, you know, different places. And it was different without the social media. It was different. It was more fun. Who knows where you'd end up?
Yeah.
The Morrissey, fucking the Drake.
I didn't go to any of these places.
You never went to the Drake?
No.
There are some rubby places. Like Vancouver's cleaned up its... It's Vancouver has trimmed the fat in the last 20 years. No, it has. Like, it used to have some weirdo places. There was this bar, Clayton, that was right near here, your place, like on Broadway somewhere. I think it was called Daddy-O's or some fucking thing like that.
Okay.
And I swear to God, it every time, Daddy-O's. I never went into it because it was not my scene. But every fucking time, because there used to be a Denny's over here, right?
Yes.
And everybody used to go to that Denny's at fucking 2 a.m. or whatever, right? You'd see people leaving that bar with fucking black eyes, fucking ripped out hair.
Oh my God.
There was fights there all the time. It was such a seedy fucking place where people would scrap every night. I can't remember what it was called though. And nobody seems to remember it. They've demolished the buildings since.
The Denny's is gone too.
The Denny's is gone too. Right. And it's fucking sad, man. Cause like Richards on Richards is gone, man.
Oh, see, Richards is the place that I did go. Cause that was one of the great,
Vancouver establishments.
Smaller live venues, right?
Dude, that's what pisses me off.
It was like Commodore and Richards.
And people that weren't big enough to play the Commodore, bands you still wanted to see,
would go to Richards.
Would go to Richards. Because
Richards was slightly smaller, but still pretty high capacity.
It's the biggest fucking sham that they got rid of it, man.
I know, and that had such a cool vibe because when you went in there, it didn't feel like a bar or a venue. It felt like you were in someone's like really big garage.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like it was all kind of like...
People were doing coke in the bathroom and shit.
Well, I can't speak to that.
That's every bar in
Vancouver.
Mean
that, you know, they had like a second story, you know, catwalk that you could go up there and like look down at the band. I'm like, this is fucking cool.
See, and Seattle still has all their venues, like Seattle Smart, because they're like, well, we're kind of known as a musical city. Mm-hmm. So we'll keep, like, they have a venue just like it called Numos. And I've seen a few bands at Numos, right? I don't know. Hopefully it's still there. It's been a while since I've done anything. I feel like COVID's fucking had, I don't know. Will we ever see a concert again?
I don't know.
Last concert I went to was the Strokes at Rogers Arena, and it was fucking great. But anyway.
I went to see Black Keys there with Cabby and Graham.
That's so good, eh?
It was.
Yeah, Black Keys are good. Okay, so we're fucking way off
topic. We're way off topic.
But for anyone out there, all you kids, if you haven't seen Dazed and Confused, fucking get a couple drinks.
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
Exactly. Fucking great line.
That was great.
Get a couple of doobies, smoke them down, watch this movie. It's fucking great.
I mean, you don't have to smoke up.
You don't, or you can stay completely sober.
Like I'm gonna. This is the one I thought you were going to say is Stand By Me.
Oh.
Because it's got that.
You know what? I was going to say it, but I didn't want to say it because I wanted to mix it up as far as like, because the Sandlot is about a bunch of little young men, and this one is too.
Yeah. Stand By Me is, again, another 80s movie sort of set in the 50s.
Oh, yeah, there's so many.
Directed by Rob Reiner and a young cast of
champions.
Champions that did very well for themselves. Yeah. Will Wheaton, River Phoenix, God rest his soul.
Yeah.
Corey Feldman, Jerry O'Connell, Kiefer Sutherland is in there.
And there's a bunch of those other supporting guys, too, with the Kiefer Sutherland gang. There's some notables in there.
Oh,
like what, you know what I mean?
John Cusack? He's listed here.
Is he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he must have been one of those guys. Cusack is Gordy's older brother who died. Danny. Oh. Remember that? Or Denny. When he's like,
Denny.
Fucking, I can't remember their last name.
I forgot all about that.
Yeah, dude. That's another, that he was so good in that too. What a sad story. That, you know why that's such a great movie is because it's a Stephen King.
Yeah, Stephen King short story, but it's called something different, isn't it?
Yeah, I believe it was called The Body.
The Body, yeah, because they go to see a dead body. What a weird...
But that's why it's got such such a rich sort of feel to it, because it had the Stephen King aspect.
And it's like what we were saying about, again, the nostalgia of being young in a time previous to social media is life had this weird like mythology to it. This sort of like magic, where someone's like, you want to come see a dead body? In this day and age, you'd be like, fuck no, call the cops, but like, get that body out of there.
Yeah.
But in that day, I think it was more like, yeah, we should go see it before someone finds it.
Well, the kid was missing, right? And they had only heard rumor.
Mm-hmm.
But see, you just nailed it on the head there with that mystery of it.
Yeah.
Right? Because back then, you'd say...
You had to go see for yourself.
Want to go see a dead body? Exactly, dude. You had to go fucking walk into the fucking whatever and go see if that dead body was there. Mm-hmm. Now, you'd have one fucking douchebag kid that'd be like, hold on a sec. Well, actually, it says here on Huffington Post that it's actually fake, right?
Yeah.
People are... There's no more mystery in life.
There's no mystery.
Because you have your little demystifier
even like,
in your pocket. No even pun like, intended.
Remember when you'd go see a movie... And then it was like, you saw it, and then that's it. That's all the information you got is watching the movie.
Yeah. You didn't know how behind the scenes. You didn't know fucking what happened.
And you're like, I sneezed during that fight scene. What happened? Did he kick him in the face? I didn't catch that six frames of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And you didn't hear about it, especially like even like
guess we got to either watch it again in the theater or wait a year and a half for it to come out on VHS.
Well, we've talked about that on this podcast. We've talked about the excitement of things being released on video.
Yeah. And our parents didn't even have that when they were kids.
No. You're right. You'd have to go see things again.
Or and if it left the theater, that was it. You'd never see it again.
Now everything is at our disposal. Everything is just a fucking one click away.
Watch it on your Apple Watch.
Who gives a shit about it, really?
I had a whole other tangent that I wanted to talk about meme culture and like YouTube reviewers, which I know we were doing on Instagram, but like I'm not going to get into it. We're already an hour in.
Are we?
Yeah.
Holy fuck, dude. Okay, well, Stand By Me is an amazing film. If anyone hasn't seen it, fuck, it's
an absolute classic.
Classic. It is so good. It could never be dated. It can never be. You know what I mean? It's so relatable.
Yeah.
The acting is great. The directing is great. Rob Reiner, they shot it in Oregon. It's fucking just a fucking piece of magic.
I forgot they shot it in Oregon.
And all those guys grew up. One of them grew up to not be with us anymore, unfortunately.
Yeah, River Phoenix.
Who's Joaquin Phoenix's brother.
Yeah.
And if anybody out there hasn't dived into his movies as much as he did, you should, because he's an amazing actor that died too early.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I'm just going to say one quick that I watched before we did this podcast.
Okay.
Because I was like, okay, I should watch something just to refresh that I haven't seen.
Oh,
not
okay.
even to refresh, yeah. but something that I haven't seen.
Mm-hmm.
And I picked Wet Hot American Summer.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Which was so surprising because I'd always knew it of its existence, but I hadn't seen it, and I just kind of heard about it so many times that I kind of thought I'd seen it, but I kept saying to myself, no, you haven't seen it. You haven't seen it.
Yeah.
You haven't seen it. And finally I watched it and it was great. I loved it.
Yeah. It kind of spoofs a lot of the movies that we had just talked about. Plus
it sort of does.
Plus some other, it's sort of, it's a satire in the way Mel Brooks did satires, where he would spoof an entire genre as opposed to like a specific film.
Yes.
It's like a spoof of the summer camp movie.
Yeah.
Or even just the summer camp experience.
Yeah, and I mean, there's plenty of those movies that we haven't even talked about, like summer camp movies, mm-hmm. Camp Nowhere.
Camp Nowhere, which I haven't seen.
I've seen it, but it has been a long time. But Meatballs, you know, fucking, there's so many fucking camp movies, right?
Mm-hmm.
That were, and a lot of them were horror.
Yeah, Friday the 13th.
And that was where... That was it. That is actually a very good movie, Friday the 13th.
It's on my list. It's even good. Though I'm not into slasher movies, but
it's dated. But I think if you just accept the datedness of it, right?
I think you Kevin have Bacon. To. I think you have to do that.
Yes, you do.
With a lot of movies.
But Wet Hot American Summer, I know I've said this before to you, but I feel like remember how I explained it the last time? It's hard to explain. A lot of comedy actors, I know a few people that were in that movie, or maybe just one, actually. Anyways.
Ken Marino.
Yeah, and I feel like a lot of... Oh, and I know the girl, too, Marguerite, who played the... I can't remember her name in it.
Katie,
yeah.
Marguerite Moreau,
yeah. And I've worked with her. And I just feel like a lot of actors out there right now, this is like their gold standard of comedy, this style of
the
comedy.
The style of comedy and the style of acting within this kind of movie.
Yeah, because everybody in it is kind of has this sort of, dull wits about them or something. And mm-hmm. it's like they're so like kind of, you know, like out to lunch kind of style of comedy, right? Yeah. Where they have no idea and they're kind of dumb and things are really over the top. And
they're like reinforced stereotypes of people, of like archetypes.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And it's just that's how a lot, because I feel like a lot of actors in the game, a lot of them, I'm not going to name names and I'm not going to specifically say who, but a lot of them aspire to be, a lot of actors in the TV game especially aspire to be comedy actors.
Yeah.
They all want to be funny, right? They all want to be funny. And this movie, because it's such an ensemble, mm-hmm. all of them kind of aspired to be this. I know this movie came out 20 years ago,
yeah,
but it's still the gold standard as far as what people want to be.
And it's funny that the most of the cast at the time were
kind of nobodies.
Total nobodies. I think Janine Garofalo was probably the most known comedian in this movie. And yet it stars,
it's just a lineup. Molly
Shannon, Michael Ian Black, Amy Poehler, Bradley Cooper, Paul Rudd,
yeah,
Ken Marino,
yes,
Joe Lou Triglio, like
I know,
it just goes, really, it just goes on and on. But a lot of these people were not known at the time.
No, and it was a risk. Like doing that style of comedy at the time was a risk because it was so fleeting. You know what I mean? It was mm-hmm. so like out there, and like it was, it's almost an existential look at life in a way. Like it's so out there. You know what I mean? But it's funny and it works and. It's just interesting to see them all now, especially for people now, if you want to watch, it's on Netflix.
Yeah.
So I would say watch it. It's just interesting to see all those people in their sort of coming of age years mm-hmm. in acting.
Like, I don't even think Amy Poehler was on SNL at that point.
I can't remember if she was.
Maybe she was.
I know Molly Shannon was known.
Molly Shannon SNL. Had, because she was and in Janine she Garofalo. Was in the 90s, Molly Shannon.
And
was
David Hyde Pierce.
Yes, David.
Don't forget about him.
From Frasier.
Dude, there's some lines from some kids in that movie.
Is that how you say it? Frasier?
Or Frasier.
With a shh.
Just depends on Frasier. Where you're from.
Frasier.
Frasier. That was almost my given name.
Frasier. Hello. Hello. You imagine? I'm Frasier Crane. I'm
listening. Hello, I'm Dr. Frasier Crane.
I'm listening. Hello, Seattle.
Oh, yeah. I forgot this in Seattle.
How could you forget? That was like...
That was the whole thing.
It starred... Kelsey Grammer, David Hyde Pierce, the girl that played Daphne,
and then there was Roz.
And then it starred also Seattle.
That's true. It was the translate of Seattle in the background, yeah. And it was its own character. Because you know they shot that in fucking L.A., guaranteed. Mm-hmm. I love how sitcoms are always in L.A., aren't they? Like all the classics, like that supposedly took place, Friends, L.A., Seinfeld, L.A., for sure, dude.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
For sure.
Well, because they don't have those studio space in New York.
And why would you? All you need to do is your establishing shot, especially back then when people didn't know
this stuff. Dude, all you need to do is put a smoker under the manhole cover and put a yellow cab. Boom, you're in New York.
You know who would be great to have on the show is Elena from New Orleans.
Yeah.
Because I want to know, does New Orleans, how often does it get faked for other things? Because Vancouver, it's 100% of the
Vancouver
time.
Vancouver has 99. Played probably 9. Every large American city. At some point.
It definitely has. Maybe not. I don't know. It has played Hawaii. It has played Honolulu. It plays fucking everything. You're right.
When did it play Honolulu?
In Big Eyes, I'm probably.
Oh, really?
They did some stuff in Hawaii, but they shot some stuff for Hawaii.
That's a whole other episode. Is all just
faked Vancouver City movies.
Because like it played India in Mission Impossible 4.
Dude, it played Iraq.
In A-Team?
In A-Team, it plays...
And Mexico.
Dude, it's played them all, man.
It's Africa. Played Sweden. It's in that movie alone, in the A-Team movie alone, I think it played...
10 different
countries.
They also faked the moon landing here. I mean, what else?
Kubrick came
what
up here.
What else can you say?
They shot it in New Westminster in Howard Hughes' penthouse.
Yes, dude. Fucking Hughes was in on it, man.
You know he used to live in New West, hey?
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
Well, and he lived at the Bayshore downtown, too, for a while. Okay, are we...
Fuck, we were way off topic. This never happens.
What movie were we on, even? I can't remember what the fuck
Wet Hot American Summer.
Okay, so you do one now.
Let's talk about The Great Outdoors.
Oh, God.
We can just talk... We can get faster. We can just talk about it briefly.
I love The Great Outdoors.
Though, Dan Aykroyd, John Candy. It's a, you know, it's again another movie where it's like a family going to on a summer vacation. Two different families, actually, right?
Yeah. Well, they're related.
Oh,
aren't they? No,
they're not brothers.
Aren't they brothers? Or is it his brother-in-law?
Oh, maybe.
They're related. Like, they're cousins, those kids.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, I think that this John Candy's wife is Dan Aykroyd's sister.
You know, I barely remember anything from that movie other than laughing at the raccoons that had the subtitles.
Yeah.
And the
go-kart golf ball to the helmet. Just John Candy in a go-kart was hilarious.
Yeah, and then the big side of beef that he eats.
Oh, yeah.
And
the steak, the giant steak.
Yeah, and the bear.
Dude, I told you the story.
Yes.
I had to go. I saw the movie in the theater. I was 9 years old, 8 years old. When did it come out?
This is 1988.
Yeah, so I was 8 years old, and I fucking saw it in the theater, and we had to drive back to my house in outside of town where we lived, and I had to call my friend on a landline and tell him about the scene where the bear gets shot in the ass and his ass fur gets blown off. How did they even do that at the time? Because it was practical.
It's a real bear.
Did they shave his ass, do you think, just for that and then put fake fur over it? Come on. That's inhumane. Fuck, dude.
It was the 80s though, man.
But I had to tell him, I had to call my buddy and just tell him on the phone. I remember specifically calling his number and fucking, Ray, you're never going to believe it. They blew his ass hair off. The bear. That's how you did things back then, you know? And not only was it a landline, Clayton, but it was a party line. Okay?
Oh, shit.
Look that shit up.
Yeah, I know. I know what you're talking about.
God, I'm fucking old, man.
Okay, do you have one?
Yeah, dude, of course.
Because I've got one lined up if you're floundering.
If I'm fucking flustered, I always have a movie in the pocket. I save a few. Elf. No, I'm just kidding. Weekend at Bernie's. Yeah. I just want to mention this because, okay, it's a rad movie. However, a lot of the movies that we've just talked about are from the 80s and 90s. This one is probably the most dated.
Yeah.
This one has fallen trap to the styles and the fucking trends of the 1980s so hard, dude.
Yeah.
That Weekend at Bernie's is so 80s. You can't, when you're watching it, you can't even believe it. You're like laughable 80s.
There's forgivable 80s and there's laughable 80s.
I would say it's a borderline.
Yeah.
Because they go to an 80s mansion in wherever the fuck they are.
Does it have like
Martha's Vineyard
faux exposed brick in
the Hamptons? No, but it's got like, no, it doesn't have faux exposed brick. It's got like glass blocks. You know what I mean? Like, it's that bad.
Does it have, like, a squiggly neon light on the
and
wall?
And, like, pink triangles. Yeah, exactly. Squiggly neons.
It's basically the set of Saved by the Bell.
Everything is pastel. Yeah, exactly. It's, like, a feature version of Saved by the Bell, right? Everything is pastel. Everybody's ties and suits are way too big. Way too big. Nothing's fitted. The tie knots are fucking huge. Fuck, man. What else?
The yellow triangle.
The shoulder pads are huge, right? It's so fucking 80s. You can't even barely believe it.
It's kind of a really disgusting premise for a movie.
It's a horrific premise, man. The guy dies and they try to act like oh dude, how do you even describe that movie? He's dead.
He's their boss, right?
He's their boss and he was murdered and then they go to his mansion in the Hamptons for the weekend.
And they find him dead.
But they still want to party for the weekend. So the one guy, Andrew McCarthy, convinces the other guy, Jonathan Silverman, to let's pretend like he's alive and they, you know, hold him up with two arms and they puppet him around for the weekend just so they can get their fucking kicks. Like, the concept of that, the pitch of that is insane when you think about it, right?
Yeah, and then they did a second one.
Did they even do three?
Maybe. Like, was he still dead?
I can't remember what happens in the second one. That's a good point, though. They dug him up again and dressed him up. I don't know. Fuck, dude.
So gross.
And his body gets like completely abused. They drop him off balconies. He goes downstairs. It just goes on and on. Like, that's the whole movie is him just... The guy who plays Bernie is one of the best performances of all time.
Totally inaccurate, biologically speaking, as well.
Totally.
Do you like how I threw that in there? Just
although rigor mortis,
not just rigor mortis, but bloating
and just
like
body fluids and shit. Yeah, like you can't fuck around. Gross.
Look at that picture. You're holding him up.
I know, it's so fucked.
But it's I do remember watching it at, like, we rented it.
And loving it.
And being like, this is hilarious.
Andrew McCarthy is one of those actors, too. He was great in it.
Oh, my God.
He's such a fucking animal. God. Okay.
Okay, I know I've talked about this movie before, but it is it's a summer movie. It's also the first summer blockbuster. I'm talking about Jaws.
Oh, damn, son.
1975. I swear to God, man, this movie holds up, except for Richard Dreyfuss's performance. He's just too over the top.
Is he?
Yeah.
I haven't seen Jaws in a long ass time. Well, not a long
At the time, everyone was like, it's Richard Dreyfuss. He's awesome.
He was crazy.
But then, like, looking back at it, I'm like, every performance, every, like, the camera work, the cinematography, the story, the music, everything works. He just sticks, except him. He just sticks out a little too much.
Do you think that Spielberg... But he got lost in, like, the fucking logistics of that fucking thing. Because it was a shit show.
Like, how old was he? He was like 20.
And Dreyfuss was just doing his...
And Dreyfuss was in his prime.
That can happen, though.
He was like... Because Roy Scheidner, I don't think, was very famous at the time. He was a bit of an unknown guy. Great actor. But Richard Dreyfuss, I think, was the star power of this movie.
Yeah, which is kind of crazy when you think about it.
But Jaws was a great movie to think about during the COVID thing because the whole everyone wanting to reopen too soon. It's just like the mayor
wanted to send everyone back in the beach.
Of Amityville or whatever it was called, the island, being like, we got to open the beach.
Yeah, and Jaws was there.
Yeah, and Jaws was waiting, there. Bruce the shark.
What's even happening with the COVID right now? It's like they're just hoping for the best, I guess.
It's just a fucking mess.
We'll see what happens. Anyways, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about summer fucking hits.
We're talking about killer great white sharks.
Yeah, exactly. Jaws was awesome.
I should say, I feel responsible saying Jaws is a great movie. It has painted sharks in a really bad light.
It has, but they are man killers.
No, they're not.
Well, they eat human flesh.
By accident. They don't hunt humans. They eat, they attack humans.
But they're predators.
By mistaking them for seals. Other things.
Yeah, sure.
That's why they attack surfers, because from underneath, a person paddling on a surfboard looks like it's a seal. Sharks, when they bite a human, they immediately know, oh, and then they let go. So, anyway.
Just from the taste?
Yeah.
It's like when you accidentally put a fucking cheese onion bun in your mouth and spit it out.
Like that time when I grabbed what I thought was a mini quiche from Crafty and it was a stuffed mushroom top. And I was like,
dude, that is such a fuck thing. When you put something in your mouth, you think it's
that
one
you
thing,
think, yeah.
And it's another thing.
Have you ever eaten something thinking it's going to be sweet and then it's savory? Not.
And it fucks with your brain.
Or the vice versa. And it's not that it's gross. It's just like the complete antithesis of what you were.
Well, that's a part of our brain, right? Our brain is a very trusting thing, and it'll associate things really quickly, right? Mm-hmm. So as soon as it gets duped like that, it fucking freaks out, right?
It revolts.
Yeah. Does not like it.
Anyway, sharks.
Dude, but sharks are so scary though, man.
They're more gentle and majestic than...
Because I don't want to get bitten by one, Clayton. But you're right. Am I saying this just based on Jaws?
Yes. And every other shark movie that followed.
Jaws 2.
Jaws 2, Jaws 3.
Possibly Jaws 3. For
Deep Blue Sea.
Possibly.
Maybe we should do a shark episode.
Blue Crush. What was the one where the girl got her arm bit off and she kept surfing?
It's not Blue
Soul
Crush.
Surfer.
Soul Surfer, yeah.
Dude, that chick was a hero, man. She kept surfing. I would have never gone in the water ever again.
/ shark movies.
There's so many fucking genres. And in the end, we always just talk about fucking Dirty Dancing.
Okay, do one. You got one?
Oh, fuck. Well, I was going to say fucking...
Were you going to talk about Ernest Goes to Camp?
No, dude. I don't have any more.
Summer Rental?
Yeah, Summer Rental. I mean, sure.
I think we're at the dregs of it.
There's more that we're just not thinking about. There's so many more that we missed.
Did you ever see Adventureland?
I tried to watch it with Kat.
It's not very good.
Yeah, and I tried to watch it, but I thought maybe she can watch this because it was only PG-13. And then I'm watching it, and I'm like, there's way too many.
It's very similar to The Way Way Back, but not charming. because they work at sort of this amusement park.
Well, how is that a good movie?
It's, I know you haven't seen it. I want to mention Moonrise Kingdom. It's probably the more stuffy of the summer movies.
It might be.
Wes Anderson, Moonrise Kingdom, if you haven't seen it. It's a pretty good summer movie. It's about a kid who escapes from the Boy Scouts.
Yeah,
kind of a fictitious version of Boy Scouts. Edward Norton is the scout leader.
Yeah. I remember it coming out. I remember it existing.
It's very cute. They're sort of, it's set on like an island in New England, I think.
Yeah.
A small island, a made up island.
I do appreciate Wes Anderson, but
he's not your cup of tea.
It's a little too much for me. I did like Isle of Dogs though quite a bit.
Isle of Dogs is great.
Yeah. I appreciated that and enjoyed it.
It's actually, and that movie is actually very different from his other movies, not just because it's animated, but also just the story, I think, is very different.
Have you seen 500 Days of Summer?
Yes.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I did. That movie is about a girl named Summer, so I don't think that
counts. It's not about Summer, no, but it's about Summer.
It's about, yeah.
Her.
Well, it's about him and his relationship with her.
But it's not about the season.
I thought it was a fresh movie to me. It was like, I hadn't seen a movie like this before.
We talked about Vacation, too, didn't we?
Oh, yeah, that's on my list. Yeah, the Chevy Chase.
Which I think is another, I mean, this is kind of an 80s fucking, oh, and we should mention The Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants. I haven't seen it, but apparently it's quite a good summer.
And apparently it's a summer movie. I didn't know it was a summer movie.
Neither did I.
And then also Now and Then is, I've seen that, but I don't remember it being a summer movie, but apparently it is a summer movie. Now and Then is a flashback.
Yeah, it's Now and Then.
It's Now.
And like then it's Rosie O'Donnell.
And then it's Christina Ricci.
Yeah. And it's like, who else was in that fucking thing?
There were quite a few people. I haven't seen it since it like came out, but that's a good summer movie. And also another one I haven't seen is The Parent Trap.
Is that?
It's like, yeah, because they go to summer camp and then they realize that they're separated twins.
Two Lindsay Lohans. Poor Lindsay Lohan, man. It's weird to watch.
Look at that.
An picture. Actor. Yeah, it's quite good how they did it.
Of young Lindsay.
Because back then it was all motion control, which is not easy to do.
From 1998, like, yeah.
That's motion control is not easy to do.
That's ahead of its time. What was the Multiplicity?
Yeah, and that, like, did you ever do a motion control?
Yeah, we did it on We did it on Altered Carbon season one.
How do you explain that to the public?
Double Joel Kinnaman.
They have to film the same shot twice. It's controlled by a robot camera, I guess you'd say.
It's this giant, I mean, they're smaller than they used to be, but it is a big rig where all the joints of this robotic arm are automated. And you basically have a camera operator run the shot, moving the camera, and then the computer records it, and then the computer mimics it.
The exact same
way. Exactly the same way.
So you can layer in the same actor twice. Yeah,
so you can layer in the same actor with the camera moving, as opposed to in the past where it had to be a static shot.
And it's very specific. There's only so many motion capture crews. Dude, or motion control crews.
It is so complicated.
So they got to bring them up from LA and it's a whole thing.
We did I think we shot like 1/8 of a page all day. Just trying to get this
fucking shit.
Kinnaman's.
I know, it's so painful.
But then when we were doing it, I'm like, fuck man, this is like problem after problem. But then when I watched it and when it was done, I'm like, wow, cool. It looks really good.
I was working on a show where we did it, and one of the motion control guys, I'm not going to name the show because I don't want people to look him up. We did one version of the shot, and then he hung his coat up on the set in the second one. And apparently there was problems with it. They had to fix it later, but it got in shit for it.
Yeah.
And everybody was like, why did the guy do that? And the onset gesture was like, well, a guy put his coat. I didn't want to say anything at the time. Or I don't know. Fuck. I'm not going to out anybody specifically. I say that way too much in our podcast, don't I?
There was one more honorable mention that I wanted to mention was the second Addams Family movie, Wednesday Goes to Summer Camp. It's not the whole movie. It's just, she sort of goes off on her own B story where she's alone, she's away from the family, and she's like the odd one at summer camp.
Yeah, there's so many that we're not thinking about, like My Girl.
Oh yeah,
Endless Summer, the documentary.
Oh yeah, Endless Summer.
There's fucking so many, and people are listening and be like, "What about fucking there
was
this one?"
This one, The Kings of Summer. I was gonna watch this before we did the podcast, and I never did.
What was the one with Miles Teller and the girl?
Miles Teller.
Yeah, Miles Teller and what the fuck was her name? She was in Big Little Lies too. She was kind of an up and comer.
Miles Teller.
It was quite a good little
Spectacular Now.
Spectacular Now.
Is that a summer movie? I haven't seen that.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, Shailene Woodley.
Shailene Woodley.
Brie Larson's in that too.
Yeah, Brie Larson, dude.
Oh, and Jennifer Jason Leigh, Mary Elizabeth Winstead,
Kyle Chandler,
Bob Odenkirk.
That's a good movie, dude.
I can't believe I haven't seen this.
Yeah, I would recommend that.
Okay, I'm putting this on my list.
I'm fairly certain it's sort of, or at least it's end of school year. Ish.
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
It might be Easter. Is that a problem? Okay, so since we're winding down, Clayton, yeah. I'm turning 40 in fucking 3 days. So somebody send me a gun so I can shoot myself.
Oh, come on.
Anyway, no, I'm happy to be alive. Clayton bought me a card and I just wanted to open it on mic.
I mean, this is going to be anticlimactic, but go ahead. He's opening the card. He's opening the envelope. Describe it.
It's a tape. It's like a card that looks like a tape, mixtape, and it says rock and roll mostly never forgets. B-Day mixtape. Oh, thanks. Oh, dude, awesome. It's like fucking songs. Happy 40th. This was Over the Hill. This was as Over the Hill I could find in the greeting card aisle. Love, Clayton. No,
our running gag was that when we were kids, there was a store called San Francisco's, and it had a novelty section in the back that had like Over the Hill novelty cards.
And it was always 40.
And it was always like, yeah, 40 was the big number.
It was like, lordy, lordy, look who's 40.
And it had like a whole rack of like, at the time, you don't think much of it. But now that Jordy is turning 40 and I'm close behind him.
Dude, this is so funny because all the songs, at first I thought it was a list of songs that you had written.
I added a couple.
Oh, you did?
At the bottom.
Oh, 4A.
To shake it up.
It's so close to the font and the writing of the original one. I don't even know how you did that. That's like props magic.
It's just my writing. This is boring. I'm going to cut this whole part out.
No, come on. Anyway, keep it.
You know what I was going to do? I was so going to put thank you. I was going to put a check for like $10 in there, like your grandma used to do. Did your grandma ever do that?
Yes.
You get your birthday card. But it wasn't really a substantial amount because you were like a kid.
Mine were like $20 yeah. or something. Yeah. I mean, I still appreciate it. Didn't have a bank account.
But I don't know where my checkbook is.
I had to cash that shit at Money Mart.
Do you have a checkbook?
Yeah. I have two of them. Yeah.
You have two?
Well, I had to get checks for different things.
It's like,
you know,
I had to get checks. I had to get a checkbook for this. No, for my previous place to rent, write rent checks. And then now that's gone away.
Because what do they do? Just take it out?
Direct deposit here.
Right.
So now I have this checkbook. I'm like, are we ever going to use checks again?
Not anymore. Nor will we use cash.
Great.
Except for drug deals.
I can't wait till we all switch to credits. Like in every future movie.
Like it's Black Mirror?
Yeah. And it's always like a really high number. That'll be 60,000 credits for the stick of gum.
Oh, dude,
when I went to
Big Red is 60,000 credits, though, that's when I fucking just exit.
They make Big Red still.
I sure hope so.
When I went to the Disneyland, the new Star Wars Galaxy Edge.
Oh yeah.
When you buy anything there, they tell you the price in credits. It's fucking hilarious.
Okay, dude. Sounds so Star Wars fan, but all right. Does fucking Jar Jar Binks fucking something something? I don't know. Insert Jar Jar Binks joke here.
No, I didn't see any Jar Jars. I saw Kylo Ren and I saw Stormtroopers.
They're doing another one, right?
I saw Chewie. They're doing a new trilogy.
Oh, are you kidding?
It's not. I don't think it's connected to It's just
other. Well, remember we talked about that on an episode about how there's about 60 fucking trillion different storylines that you could go with that maybe don't involve them sneaking onto a ship of some sort or just destroying the Death Star.
Why have to sneak on a ship?
No, they don't, dude. This is what I'm saying.
That's paramount to a Star Wars movie.
This is why I don't like it. This is why I liked Rogue One. That was the only one I liked.
I liked Rogue One too.
Because they didn't sneak onto ships.
Yes, they did. She snuck onto that planet.
At least it was a planet.
They snuck onto a base.
Why the sneaking so much?
I don't know.
Is there sneaking in every movie?
No, not in every movie.
You know what? Should we do see anything lately at the end? Just a quick one?
Oh, shit. Okay.
Well, you've seen about 6 million things.
I've seen a lot of movies, yeah.
But just one of note?
What do you have?
I have The Last Kingdom from Netflix that I fucking got into hard. Last
Kingdom.
Yeah, it's this fucking series, dude. Oh. It's so long though. Like each episode is 50 minutes or something. Oh, and they've got fucking like 36 episodes of different seasons.
Shit.
So it's a lot to take in. And it's a lot. You have to pay attention to it. It's about ancient England.
Oh, yeah.
It's quite good.
Oh, okay.
I enjoy it.
That sounds like it's up my alley. I've been watching Space Force.
I watched Space Force 2.
Did you watch all of it? I'm not done.
I haven't watched all of it, but I think I've watched 3 episodes of it.
I told, I'm further than you, and I told, my mom's like, have you been watching it? I'm like, I'm watching it specifically for John Malkovich.
He's so great in it. One of his best roles.
I kind of don't, not, I don't hate the rest of it, but I'm like, Ben Schwartz is in it, who I love, but they don't really use him. Like, his character is not important.
No.
To the overall exactly. story. So I feel like he's like, they cast somebody really great and they're not really using him. And
Steve Carell
is kind of Michael Scott in a military uniform.
And it's like Michael Scott trying to take a constipated fucking dump.
Space Force. Launch it.
But John Malkovich is so great at
John Malkovich. I love his that delivery.
That character, dude. Mallory, what's his name again?
Mallory.
He's like, Dr. the way Mallory. He talks. Yeah. Fuck, dude. So good. So great. There's jokes that land, but then there's a whole bunch that don't.
What else have I watched? Season 3 of Killing Eve.
Yeah, I haven't gotten into that.
I thought it was 10 episodes, but it was only 8. So I watched the season finale thinking there were 2 more episodes coming. And that was a bit disappointing.
You like Sandra Oh, obviously.
Dude, I said this to Heather because she's a Grey's Anatomy fan, because I never watched Grey's Anatomy. But I forgot how great Sandra Oh is. I think I've said this verbatim.
She's a force, dude.
And in Killing Eve, Jodie Comer, the other co-star, is fucking phenomenal actress. She is so good.
Hey, I gotta watch it. People talk.
And
about
she's
it.
Sort of she's a relatively newcomer on the acting scene, so she hasn't been in a lot of other things.
Did you see Big Little Lies?
No, I haven't watched it yet.
You should, man. Definitely a white privilege series. But still a good story.
I've been watching so many movies that I've given TV shows like a total backseat.
Yeah, and I've been doing the opposite.
And
I've been watching TV shows for the first time in my life.
I was watching Killing Eve just because I've seen the other 2 seasons. So I'm like just keeping up to date with it.
Okay, pal, what are we at? What time are we at?
It's an hour and a half.
Fuck, should we call it?
I think we should call it. I think we can wrap it up.
It's been a slice, dude.
It's been nice doing this again. I hope everyone's enjoyed listening.
Yeah, we appreciate everybody, and we hope that people are safe and, you know, have a lot of hope in their hearts and chicken soup for the soul, all that stuff.
Hello, God, it's me. I should also mention, we tried to record this outside and it didn't work. We are recording it back at my place, but we are now further apart. Yeah. Than we usually sit. We are 6 feet apart. We have the mic and the spit screen, as people call it, in front of our faces. It's up to all of us to continue to exercise COVID precautions.
Even though we have had no cases.
I'm sorry, I know that you don't want to hear it, but you have to keep washing your hands, cough into your fucking...
And just stay away from people. Like, we don't even, like, nobody even does that here anyways. Nobody hugs each other.
I know it's, you know, we're opening up and that's good. I'm actually really looking forward to going out and getting a meal here and there.
It's going to be great. We're going to be back at work and
Hopefully soon.
What's that going to look like?
I think it's just going to look like how you think it's going to look. Did you read the WorkSafe PC?
I skimmed it.
Well, and we haven't talked about this, but film sets are not good places for germ safety.
Film set are the absolute worst places for that.
There's 100 people on the set, number one. We all fucking are handing stuff back and forth, touching each other constantly. Mm-hmm. The makeup, the hair, the everything is being touched constantly by everyone else.
Being put into small quarters, you know, for 14 hours at a time.
It's so bad for it, man.
Like, there's just the shuttle rides
are number one off you know top what I mean? Of the day. You get into a fucking crowded van with a bunch of
you get like
sickly
15
people.
Strangers in a van driving for 15 minutes. That's enough. And just breathing, not them. Even talking, just breathing.
Well, then you have to hear their stupid fucking gas bag stories, right?
I told you this. This is the one thing I'm worried about the most is hearing everyone's tales of woe in quarantine. You know, it was just so hard. It was just me and they Stevie and the part, you know. And
Stevie. That should be a part of the rule, man.
No stories?
No talking to anyone at all.
Dude, I would love that.
I know you would. Now that we have masks, too, the worst part of coming back to work, here's what I'm going to tell people. The worst part of coming back to work is going to be smelling your own breath for fucking 13 hours a day.
Yeah.
Tasting yourself.
I have a mask and I was wearing. Oh, we should talk about Caitlin's masks.
Oh, yeah.
But I have a mask that I got before Caitlin started up her little industrious enterprise. But I wore it industrious. In the grocery store for like 20 minutes and I was like, I don't know how I'm going to be able to do this for 12 hours a day.
Well, Caitlin's masks are pretty breathable. So let's talk about that.
So, Caitlin, our coworker and friend and fan, has created a little Instagram-based business called Krantz Work.
Yeah.
And she's making masks in different patterns and colors I think she's doing it in anticipation for film people going back to work. But also,
she's fucking selling a lot of them.
She's selling a lot of them. And they're very comfortable and very stylish. And she's been donating a lot of her proceeds to Black Lives Matter, which is awesome.
Yeah, and I bought 5 of them. They're a really great fit.
Did you get them already?
Yeah.
Nice.
I saw it the other day. And yeah, man, they're a nice fit. They're comfortable. They breathe. They work, man.
Awesome. I posted a couple links on our Instagram, but I'll post another one. But if you don't follow us for some reason, I don't know why you wouldn't follow us.
Yeah.
But it's KRANTZWERK, Krantz Work.
Yeah.
That's her Instagram. You can order through that direct messenger. Shout out to Caitlin.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Okay, everybody. We missed you. We missed doing this. We appreciate all you guys out there that listen to us. And we hope you guys are safe. We hope you're happy. And give us a shout if you want.
Yeah, I checked our email. No, no emails.
But you know what I mean? Just whatever.
Thanks for listening. Thanks, as always, to Uncle Dan for our music, my sister Amanda for our graphics, and everyone else listening. You can email us at thepropscast@gmail.com or follow us at thepropscast on Instagram. I'm Clayton.
I'm Jordy.
This has been The Propscast. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.